Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. The world and its wicked, sinful behavior and the marketing of sensuality is engrafted into the media in all of its forms. You can't watch a sporting event without them promoting gambling, the consumption of alcohol, or some other sinful behavior masquerading as humorous. A study conducted by the American Psychological Association says that 70% of shows on television have some type of sexual content, and that is on the increase. This study was conducted back in 2001, and you can see the increase even if you're watching Wheel of Fortune during the commercials. The Lord, through the Scriptures, has something to say about the nature of sin. Let's listen and learn.
The nature of sin. I want to read the same three scriptures we have been reading in this series, Romans 5 and 12. And then I'm going to read Psalm 51 and 5. And then you can complete the scripture reading by reading Romans 3 and 23 back to me. The nature of sin. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. Then Psalm 51 and 5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And then Romans 3:23, if you have that, read it back for me. Begin. Can God's people say amen?
Amen.
Because it is the word of God. You might be seated. This is the last in this short series on the nature of sin. Sin is a common occurrence in our society. It is so common, most of us are not moved by it. Most of us are not abhorred by it. Unless it is a grave, hideous sin, murder, rape, child molestation. I'm getting an echo here, Sister Margot. Just this past week, I see it was a little girl. Someone entered, I believe, their home, kidnapped this little girl and murdered her. And most of us, and we should be, we are appalled at that kind of sin. But normally, unless it is something that grave, we don't give sin much thought. Apart from sins such as these and others that are in that hideous category, we are not moved much by sin. And to be honest, we are used to it. We have become inoculated against it. We have become immune to sin. We see it depicted every day in the various modes of mass media. We see it on all the sitcoms. We see it in the music. I don't know why they still call them videos, because they're not on video, amen. We see it on the various music, DVDs. We see it in the movies, and we see it in Ebony magazine, and we see it in Jet magazine, and we see it in Vogue, or whatever you're reading, it is there. Time to time I read a hunting magazine and we can't even sell a box of shells without a woman that is scantily dressed. Amen. Can't even sell a bass boat. Amen. Unless they got a half naked woman sitting in it. Amen. And so we see it so often that we are used to it. We see it or we hear it in people we come in contact with every day. And then there is our own personal sin, which we often minimalize. We say, I got problems, but I'm not that bad. However, we must be reminded that sin is a serious reality which is destroying the lives of many and contributing to the misery of many. This past week, I counseled with a man And he doesn't go to this church, so don't start looking around at the men. But I counseled with a man this past week, and he's not a young man. And he really ought to be old enough to know better. His life is in turmoil because he had a child out of wedlock with a woman who is mentally unstable. And because of this, his life is now full of day-to-day drama. And so his drama is a result of his sin. Amen. Even worse than this is the fact that sin is utterly repugnant to the holiness of God. It is so repugnant that when God's Son was on the cross bearing our sin, the Father could not look at him because God could not stand all of our ugly sins. And it was for this reason the Lord cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sin separates us from God. Sin ruins our fellowship with God. And if sin is untreated or not dealt with through the blood of Jesus Christ, it dooms all to an eternity separated from God in the place Jesus called hell. Amen. And so in this series we have taught on, and there are really three kinds of sin. And so in the category of sin, there are really three modes of sin. We taught on imputed sin, or the fact that when Adam sinned, God charged his sin to all of us, for all of us were in Adam when he sinned. Theologians call this Adam's seminal sin. In other words, Adam's sin was the basis for later sin in all human beings, based on the fact that Adam's seed, Adam's DNA, it is in all of us. Adam was also the federal representative of the human race. And so when he sinned, he therefore cast all into sin. The closest example I can give you of this is when our congressional representative, they pass a law, and as a result, we are all now liable for it. You didn't pass it. You may not have even wanted it. Too bad. You are now liable. Why? Your representative, he put you under that umbrella. And so Adam sinned as our congressman. In a manner similar to when our congressman votes a new tax or custom, and now we just have to eat it. In the same way, we are responsible with Adam in his sin. Adam's sin representing the entire human race. And therefore, we all take part in that sin. And the reason God has done this is in order that just as we were plunged into sin through the one man Adam, we can now be plunged into righteousness through faith in the one man, Jesus Christ. If you have Romans 5, let me just read that to you. And I know I don't normally do this in an introduction, but I looked at this morning. Let me just read that fact to you. Because I know some are saying it's not fair that I am liable for Adam's sin. You better be glad God did. Because apart from that, he could not save you. Notice Romans 5, 17 through 19. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, not two, but one. Amen. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation unto all, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Verse goes on to say, for as through one man's disobedience, not Adam, not Eve, but just one man, not hers, but his, for as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, that's Jesus, the many will be made righteous. So the reason why God included all of us under Adam's sin, the one man Adam's sin, is in order that he could save all of us through the one man, Christ Jesus. See, if God wouldn't have done it that way, each of us would have been on our own to try to work out our own plan of salvation. And you are too sinful to do that. Amen. Then last Sunday, we talked about the sin nature of man. The sin nature of man, which includes all of us, is ultimately a result of Adam's sin. For when Adam sinned, not only did he impute sin to all of us, as soon as Adam sinned, he also took upon himself a sin nature. And so because of that, every human being born after that had that sin nature in him. And immediately all of us received our sin nature from our natural parents. And the key figure in this transference of the sin nature of both of our parents, I really believe it is the man. And the reason I believe that is because sin entered the world not through the woman, but through the one man, Adam. And so I really believe the linchpin in all of this is the man. I'm not going to go deep into that, why the majority of Orthodox theologians believe that, but I agree with that assessment. It is on the men. Amen. One more man say amen, I'll move on. Amen. It's us. It's on the men. Amen. It doesn't excuse the woman for your sin, but I'm just saying it's on us. Amen. This spiritual headship, it's on us. Amen. And when we're lousy, everybody's lousy. Amen. The sin nature in all of us is what makes all of us bent towards sin rather than towards God. The sin nature we all have is what makes it. It's not hard to get caught up in the sin. It's not hard to live in sin because that sin nature will take you there with a quickness. Amen. But because we have a sin nature, it makes it a struggle to live for the Lord. The way all of us know we have a sin nature is by honestly looking at the thought life we have, or the thoughts that pulsate through our brains, or the inner man, or the heart of conscious man. See, the reason why we all have evil, unclean thoughts to some degree or another is because we all were born with a sin nature. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was brought forth or shapen in iniquity. The sinful thought life of man, which is a result of his sin nature, is so repulsive to God that it is the primary reason God destroyed everybody in the flood of Noah. And I know most of us thought God destroyed everybody because everybody was getting drunk and gambling and womanizing. No. God looked down and he saw the thoughts that were in men's heart was only evil continually. And that's the primary reason God destroyed everything. All of these wicked thoughts were permeating up before him and God could not stand it. Why? Because God loathes all sin, imputed sin, and also the sin nature we all have. And so the sin nature is so abhorrent in the mind of God that Jesus was very plain. That what defiles a man is not what goes into him, but what comes out of a person's heart. And he said it was evil thoughts and fornications and thefts, envy, pride, foolishness. The Lord was very clear. All of these sins come from within. They come from the heart of man that has been molded and shapen by our sin nature. God's remedy for the sin nature we all have is, remember, he put the old man, the sin nature we all have, to death when Christ died on the cross. Somehow, in the mind of God, when Jesus died on the cross, God put our sin nature to death. And as a result, sin no longer has dominion over us, or we are no longer enslaved to sin. So God has put that old man to death. And one day he will be totally eradicated. But the way we know God has put that old man to death is sin no longer has dominion over us. I hope since you have been saved, your life has changed. Amen. Amen. Because if not, you probably need to get saved. But that old man has been put to death. And even though we don't know it, in the mind of God, he really is the old man, that sin nature, he's dead. And one day he will be totally eradicated. You know, when we hunt deer, it's deer season, amen. So give you a deer story. We have a saying, when we hit a deer real good, either with the arrow or a shot from a shotgun, you know when you've hit him real well because how he reacts. And they normally take off running. And they may run 100 yards. And we have a saying, we say he's dead, but he don't know it yet. We call it a dead run. He's dead, but he just don't know it yet. Then after they run for a while, they drop. See, the old man is dead. We just don't know it yet. Amen. God has put him to death in Christ on the cross. And we're running this Christian race. And one day it'll be totally eradicated from our experience. Now, for me, that's good news. If it's not good news for you, you may need to get saved. Amen. The other solution God has provided to us for the sin nature is when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, God makes us a partaker of his divine nature. Since we have become a partaker in the divine nature or God's nature, it is impossible to be lost, for God's nature, it cannot go to hell or be separated from God. So if you know Christ, you have been made a partaker of the divine nature, God's nature. And so that nature, no part of God can be in hell. Amen. This is our assurance of salvation. Amen. All right, let me end this. I want to end this series this morning by looking at our personal sin or our personal sins. Let me read Romans 3:23 once again. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This verse is very clear that we all have personal sin or sins, and thus all fall short of the glory of God. And the fact that all sin in a personal way is clear in both Old and New Testaments. And I just want to read some scripture this morning. So, I'm starting from Old and trying to do this in order. So let's first go back to 1 Kings 8 and 44. The book of 1 Kings 8 1 Kings 8 and 44. Notice what this word of God says. This is Solomon praying when he's dedicating the temple. And he says, "When your people go out to battle against their enemy by whatever way you shall send them, and they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen and the house which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause." Verse 46, "When they sin against you." Then Solomon says, "For there is no man who does not sin. And you are angry with them and deliver them to an enemy so that they take them away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near." And I'm going to just stop right there. But the point is, Solomon makes it very clear. There is no man who does not sin. Job 15 and 14. Job 15 and 14. See, this is not good news for the self-righteous. Amen. This is not good news for holier than thou. Amen. Job 15, 14. Job says, "What is man that he should be pure?" It's a rhetorical question. He's nothing. "Or he who was born of a woman that he should be righteous." What he's saying is, it just ain't so. There's no man that's pure and there's no man that's righteous. Psalm 143, 1 through 2. Psalm 143, 1 through 2. David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness." Verse 2. "And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight," what? "No man living is righteous." Let me give you another in Proverbs 20 and 9. Proverbs 20 and 9, notice it says, who can say, I've cleansed my heart, I am pure from sin? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody can. Let me read Romans 3, 9 through 18. Romans 3, 9 through 18. Now, this one is God's. This is what God sees when he sees man. Romans 3, starting in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles are all under what? Sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of ass, that's a poisonous snake, is under their lips. In other words, folks will kill you with their mouth. Amen. And I'm not talking about bad breath. Amen. Kill your reputation with their tongue. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing. And I know that's nobody out here. Amen. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their past. In the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And let me just give you one more. 1 John 1 and verse 10. 1 John 1, 10, read it. What's it say?
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
So if you say you don't, liar.
Amen.
And God's word is really not in you. Because we just read a whole lot of passages that say, you got some sin in you, amen.
Amen.
And if you say you haven't, you're calling God a liar because he says in his word, you do sin. And his word is not in you. Personal sins may be a sin of commission or omission. A sin of commission is when we do something prohibited in the word of God. A sin of omission is a sin in which we fail to do what God requires of us. A sin of commission is when we do something prohibited in the word of God. A sin of omission is when we fail to do what God tells us to do in the word of God. A good example of this in the natural realm is you are speeding on the highway and the state trooper pulls you over. After he or she pulls you over, he or she asks you for your driver's license. As they are writing the ticket, he or she notices that your license has expired. The officer asks you why you are driving with an expired license, and you tell him, officer, I forgot to renew it. As a result, the officer now gives you two tickets. One for speeding, that's a sin of commission. Because signs say 65, you driving 90, amen. So the speeding is a sin of commission. And the ticket for the failure to renew your license or a failure to meet the requirement of keeping your license up to date, that is a sin of omission. But I want you to understand both incur a penalty because both are wrong acts. Therefore, when we steal a socket wrench set from work, we are sinning against what God prohibits. Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal. This is a sin of commission. We are lax in attending Sunday worship on a consistent basis. We are not practicing what Hebrews 10:24 through 25 requires of us. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near when you don't come to church, that is a sin of omission. Most Christians, especially those who lean towards a legalistic form of religion, That is, they're holier than thou. They have a hard time dealing with sins of omission. I suspect the reason why this is true is because if one considers their sins of omissions as sin, which equally separates one from God, just as sins of commission do. Drinking, lying, adultery, you know, the top five. See, if folks really begin to look at their sin as God does, not only do we have sins of commission, but sins of omission. Then you will know, trying to live right to be saved, it is an exercise in utter futility. Amen. You know, one of the sins of omission I constantly find myself confessing before the Lord and asking for forgiveness during my prayer time is I don't spend enough time in prayer. Let's be honest, you know, some days can go by. Y'all looking at me funny. And you haven't prayed. You know, we get so busy, we can't pray. And so one of the things I constantly find myself asking the Lord for forgiveness in my prayer time is, Lord, I don't spend enough prayer time with you. If you are honest, most in this church, but in this morning, experienced something similar. The difference being it just may be some other sin of omission. The truth of the matter is, even though many believers do not commit any of the most grave sins of commission, are way short when it comes to the sins of omission, and these sins are just as destructive as what we consider the more grave sins. Failure to pray as one should, failure to read God's word as one should, failure to be consistent in attending Sunday worship service, it can be just as destructive as stealing and drinking. For if you don't pray as you should, read God's word as you should, and be faithful in your worship of the Lord at the Sunday morning worship, it is much easier to fall in the grave sins of commission. And I will go further and say, if you consistently commit the sins of omission, it won't be long before you're doing some sins of commission. Amen. Stay out of church long enough. Stay out of the word of God long enough. Stay away from prayer long enough. And you'll be dibbling and dabbling, amen, in sins. Personal sin can manifest itself as an act or an attitude. An act of sin can be something such as telling a lie.
Thank you for taking the time to journey with us through the sermon series, The Nature of Sin. We'll continue this series for the remainder of the week. So tune in as Dr. Kinlow expounds upon this topic from the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.